Thank you, Eliza. When I came to Campbell, I was told that the favorite dessert of our people is the burnt almond cake from Dick's Bakery. And they began to describe for me this wonderful dessert. They said that it would melt in your mouth. They said that it won't make you fat. They said that it was heavenly. It was fluffy, light, perfect for California weather. And I could almost taste it, you know, in my mouth. It sounded so good. It almost was in my mouth. I could feel it. So one day, we were invited, and lo and behold, the burnt almond cake. It didn't look that fancy like the ones I've seen in New York. But when they cut the cake and served before me, and I took the fork and put it in my mouth, I knew it. I knew why they were so happy about this dessert. Ever since then, I don't have to remind you how many times I've been down by Dick's and how Chrissy's weight has had some problems because of this thing. We're not going there for a while. To know about burnt almond cake, but then to taste it and to know it, there's a huge difference, isn't there? The story of Mary and Martha, I think, is about something like that. There was a fervent believer who thought about God morning and night. One night, God appeared to her in the dream and said, "My dear friend, why have you forgotten me?" And she was so surprised. She said, "All my life, God, I've thought nothing but about you." "That's fine," God said, "but I also want you to recognize me. I want to be your friend." There is a difference between knowing a lot about God, about history and what people said and information and knowledge. And then there is this thing called knowing God as a friend. Martha, in this household, was a great cook, great housekeeper, and she was a great hostess. So when she invited Jesus, she knew exactly what needed to be done, and she did it. Perfect. She was a great hostess. When Jesus entered the house, she probably scurried out of the kitchen and greeted Jesus, but then said to Jesus, "Jesus, I gotta go back. There's this thing cooking in the kitchen." But Mary sat down by Jesus' feet and began to listen. Now, there's something in the Jewish writings called Mishnah that talks about this. It reads, "Let thy house be a meeting house for the sages, and sit amid the dust of their feet, and drink in their words with thirst, but talk not much with womankind." Well, the rabbis were clear who could become their disciples, and no women were invited to be sitting at their feet. But here was Mary, breaking all kinds of rules of that society. You know, even today, in the Middle Eastern countries, there's a strict code about men and women being together. You know about that. So you can well imagine 2,000 years ago, the kind of scandal Mary was causing this family. So Martha, of course, she was perhaps angry and a little bit angry at her sister for not helping her in the kitchen, but even more than that, it was that Mary was causing this scandal, becoming one of the guys, becoming a disciple of Jesus, acting like she was a disciple of Jesus. So Martha could no longer stand it. She could hear them talking and laughing, and she wondered what they were doing. So she comes out and says, "Lord, don't you care that Mary is shirking her job and not helping me? Tell her to help me. And I'm sure when she said that, maybe the men shook their heads, yes, she shouldn't be here, or there was a silence to hear what Jesus had to say. Martha, Martha, Jesus answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Listen to two other translations of those words. From the Message, the Master said, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. Only one thing is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her. And then, of course, from today's reading from the Common English Bible, the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her. Clearly, Martha was distracted from Jesus' teachings by her cooking. It wasn't that she needed an extra hand, but she feared this cultural context of what people would say, of what the neighbors would think, or what mom and dad would say about her and Mary. Jesus seemed to be saying to Martha, because I can imagine that Jesus had a twinkle in his eyes as he spoke these words to Martha. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. I understand about the list, things to do. But one thing is needed. What is missing is not more plates of food, but rather for you to see that I am providing the meal that you need. Your sister has already chosen that meal. So I will not allow you to take that from her. I need a good student like her. And in my mind, the story stops here, but in my mind, I can see Jesus inviting Martha to let those things go and listen in, join, and receive the word for her soul that day. We Methodists, of course, are Martha churches, you know. We do a lot of things and we are proud of it, right? And you would shame us if we are not doing three things at a time and wearing five hats all at once. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus may ask us the question, are we being distracted? It is interesting to know that Jesus gives us a great command, Luke 10:27. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commands form the core of his teaching. And guess who he puts up as the models for this? For the model for loving the neighbor, Jesus lifts up a Samaritan that we heard about last week. And now the model for loving God, he lifts up Mary, a woman of all peoples in those days. Two people who you would never expect to be the models of neighborliness or of spirituality, Jesus lifts up as two people who are his disciples. A man took out his hunting dog for a trial hunt. So he shot a duck and he fell into the lake. The dog walked over the water and picked up the duck and brought it to his master. The man was flabbergasted, so he shot another duck and the dog walked over the water, picked up the duck and walked right back. He could hardly believe it. So he called his neighbor for a shoot the following day. Once again, each time he or his neighbor shot a bird, the dog would walk over the water, pick up the bird and bring it back at their feet. Finally, he couldn't contain himself, so he told his neighbor,
Did you notice anything strange about that dog? The neighbor rubbed his chin and he said, yeah, come to think of it, I did. The son of a gun can't swim.
We are so used to thinking that God is all around us. We take it for granted. We say it, we teach it to our children. But oftentimes, in our daily lives, that is the one thing that we can truly forget easily. The picture on the bulletin cover shows modern-day Martha's and Mary. Martha is looking at her cell phone and she is focusing on a message. Perhaps she's waiting for a message. Perhaps she's sending a message. And then there is Mary. She's looking, but she's not really looking, is she? She's kind of somewhere else. She's looking inward, I suppose we might say. Maybe it is her doubts, her dreams, her thoughts or fears. Neither of them notice each other. They are so focused. But what if that opening in the middle of them, that old gate, is a gateway to everything that they're hoping for in life, that it will lead to the fulfillment of who they want to become? Their dreams would come true. What if that was a portal, yet they are so focused on these other things, these distractions, that we don't get to see the answer right in our midst? The story of Martha and Mary is about hospitality, I believe. Hospitality to God, to our neighbor, to ourselves. Martha knew how to be hospitable to others, yet to herself, not so well. Mary knew how to be hospitable to God. And what does it mean for us to be hospitable to God, to know God as we know ourselves? I'm sure all of us struggle with this question. We wonder whether God is truly near us, by us, hear us. One thing about friends is that to be a friend, you have spent time with a friend, isn't it? And once you make a lifelong friend, of course you could be away from them, but it doesn't take long for you to touch base again and connect again. To be friends with God. To be hospitable means to be receptive, to be aware, to invite God and to be open to God so that God can draw near to us and we can draw near to God. And that takes some investment of time and attention. You know, they tell us that we Americans, especially we parents, spend perhaps less than 10 minutes of real attention with our children. We are so busy that it is hard to take even that kind of moment with our children. Yet that 15, 10 minutes, if we can be really present, can make a difference. In our life with God, I wonder whether we take that kind of time or make time so that God can be with us and we can be with God. The history of our faith from Abraham on down to today, it's a record of how God wants to be our friend, how God wants to live life with us. That was Jesus' point, that God is the source of everything that we are and we can be. From this hospitality to God then flows hospitality to ourselves and hospitality to others. When Mary set aside everything to attend to Jesus' teaching, she was obeying that great commandment to love God with all our hearts, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Nanette Sawyer tells a story of the salt doll who finds her true self. And maybe that is the message that Jesus wants to have in the story of Mary and Martha. Once a salt doll approached the ocean with awe. "What are you?" the doll asked the ocean, overwhelmed by its sheer magnitude. Something about the ocean fascinated her. She felt a connection. She was drawn to it. But the ocean didn't try to explain. It simply said, "Find yourself, for yourself, what it is, who I am." So the doll walked into the ocean. She found that she began to dissolve. Her feet and hands became smaller. And her hair began to disappear. She felt a strange mix of fear and longing as the ocean began to enter her body, and she began to know, to catch a true glimpse of the ocean. She was made of what the ocean was made of, salt, but the ocean was more than that. It was water, it was minerals, it was plants, it was other creatures. The ocean was filled with life. As the body of the salt doll dissolved, she didn't disappear. She felt her consciousness expanding and permeating the ocean. The salt doll let go of her small self, her small identity, and allowed herself to become part of something greater. So she became the vast ocean, filled with the abundance of life. This week, Jesus invites us to follow Mary's example of being a disciple, to practice hospitality to God. People who have come through this place witness to us of the presence of God in their lives, and we too bear the presence of God. Only when we know God can we truly know ourselves and know others, loving them. So with Mary, let us sit and listen. And then, of course, there will be plenty of time for us to go and do likewise. May Jesus be present. May you be present with God, with yourself, and with others. Thanks be to God for Jesus, who came to show us the face of God and to place the presence of God right into our hearts. Amen.